You're listening to the Plain Label Podcast, and on this episode, we continue our theme of audience versus critics. Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Eric Falco Williams.
Whoa, that was dangerously close to a spit take. That was good. That was like just finishing that drink. Hello, by the way.
Oh, hey. Continuing our look at audience versus critics, we're discussing the film Sideways and The Replacements. And before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of our other shows that are over there. Okay, Mr. Williams, what are you drinking today?
I do like having that Mr. Williams in there. It like brings me back to school just a little bit. And since you're always so disrespectful towards me, I like having that little Mr. Williams in there.
Well, you like anchormanned it in, so I have no choice.
That's right. That is right. I'm having something that I've never had on the podcast before.
Vodka grapefruit.
I haven't had that in a long time. Those were dark times. I'm having champagne tonight.
Champagne?
Champagne.
Jeez, what are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating that I'm done driving.
Oh.
Anna is
best
back
to celebrate post-drive with champagne.
That's right. Not the pre-drive.
No.
No, it doesn't work out well, but Anel really likes champagne, so she'll get it occasionally. And
so weird. So does Katie.
Really?
She loves champagne. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't usually feel like I feel much out of it. It's not like when I have gin where I'll have like one drink and I'll be feeling weird like right away.
Yeah. I was at my parents' this weekend and I had, Moscow Mule cocktail, like out of a can.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, take it for what it's worth. But it wasn't too bad. And I was like feeling it after the one can. Like, I didn't read the alcohol content, but I'm sure it wasn't like, I don't know. Maybe it was just hot outside.
Well,
I'm
pretty,
not a lightweight.
With all your whole 30s, you may be becoming a lightweight.
I know.
So anyway, yes, our first film that we're going to discuss, this is Rachel's pick, most obviously. This is like one of the most obvious sort of who picked what sort of themes I think that we've ever done.
Yeah, that's true.
It is from the year 2000, which was shocking to me.
I know. I thought it was like 97.
I was thinking like mid-90s, like 94, 96, something like that.
Yep.
But no, 2000, and it is called The Replacements.
Shane Falco had given up his dream of playing for the pros.
Hey, Falco, you're not even a has-been. You're a never-was.
Thanks, guys.
Until fate...
The player's strike became official at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
...handed him the ball.
We're going to use replacement players.
I'm talking about a team of poor nobodies.
We're going to take those people and try to put together a winning team.
Why me?
Could be part of something.
If nothing else...
They should be fun to watch.
Hey, oh, the drinks are on the outside.
Now he must lead a team of amateurs.
There's some who will say that you're not a real player. That this isn't a real team.
And find what it takes.
You know, you're the first player I can remember who seems to care more about his teammates than he does himself.
To win.
You just have to find a way to lead your team. Earn the respect.
Warner Brothers presents...
We got a game to play.
We play the world champions.
Keanu Reeves.
I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational, but that just wouldn't be our style.
And Gene Hackman.
You can do this now. Come on. Come on.
In a comedy for everyone who wasn't good enough...
Now that is a hit!
...to get in the game.
As of today, you're all professional football players.
Me the ball.
Are you gonna get me the
ball?
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
The Replacements.
You'll never be more than a replacement player.
Yeah, I can live with that.
When the NFL's Washington Sentinels goes on strike. Yeah, that's right. The team's owner calls former NFL coach Jimmy McGuinty out of retirement to coach a ragtag team of replacement players to finish the season's last four games. Stage left, Shane Falco, Jesus, the team's captain for the duration of the season, is forced to shape up the misfit players, who include convenience store guard, gangster rapper Brothers, former sumo wrestler, a Welsh football player called The Leg, a deaf player, a convict on work release program, and a tough SWAT leader. Meanwhile, Falco strikes up a possible romance with the team's cheerleading captain, Annabelle Farrell. Whew, that was tough to get through.
That was not one of the better written ones.
So many unnecessary commas.
What's funny about that is I like how you're trying to edit it, but trying not to edit it as you're going. Like, oh, do I leave it or do I just say it different than what's read?
You should like put those out on like with the podcast so people can like read through it with me.
The show description.
Yeah.
iTunes. So that way they know that you're not just
how horrible. Yeah. They're not like, she's an idiot. She can't even read.
Yeah. It is hard. Like, when something's written poorly, it is tough to, like, read it and make it sound good.
And respect anyone. Yes.
Okay. So this is The Replacements. This is Rachel's pick. Why did you select this one? Tell me about you and The Replacements.
Not the band. Oh. Well, then I don't have any confidence for this. I pulled it off of a list of, like, kind of, it was like a list of shows that, or movies that people like but are stupid, and it was about football, and I'd never seen it before.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, like I'd heard the name Shane Falco, and I'd seen it a couple times on like TBS, like here and there, mm-hmm. like scenes, but never like sat down and watched the whole thing. So I was like, oh well, it's about football, I'll probably enjoy it, and so that was honestly why I picked it.
Wow, that is really surprising to me. So my history with this film is this used to be on when I worked at the golf course where we first had met.
Oh, sure.
And this
when
was...
you were doing all that work where you were too busy to watch TV.
Yeah, so this was when this is when we had one of those TVs that had the VHS player attached to it, right?
Wow.
And it was to be used for different like product placement and that kind of stuff. And you know, that lasted no time at all. And it was like, no, I'll just put movies in and try to rewind through the boobs and, you know, fast forward right. And rewind, that sort of thing. And so when I ended up hiring a mutual associate of ours,
okay.
This was one of the films that he brought in.
Of course.
And so I just assumed that you had seen this several times.
Nope, I've never seen it. I had never seen it.
And so when you picked it, I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this movie? Get me away from this movie. I was like,
no.
how can I get away from this fucking Shane Falco film?
So you basically judged me before you had any context.
Well, I do that.
Yeah.
That's one of my moves.
One of my things, I do that.
If people know me, that's what they know me for. It's prejudging. Right. So when I first had watched the film, I just didn't really think much of it, you know, because it's on in the background and you're like, oh, that's silly and funny, whatever. But you're not really watching it.
Yeah.
And so for this, I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. I don't have great memories because all I remembered was that it was Keanu and he's being Keanu and being really breathy when he says anything, you know. I don't think I have this in the notes, but Annelle walked in for part of this, or I think she got home from work or something like that, and she's like, God, I hate this guy.
I love Keanu Reeves.
And I was like, why don't you like him? She's like, oh, he's so breathy when he says anything. He's like, yeah.
That's how we talk.
I know. And she just did not like it, and I was like, that's really funny.
He does talk pretty breathy.
Yeah, he does have his Bill and Ted thing going, for sure, in this. That's why I was so surprised when it was 2000. I was like, holy shit.
Did you know that they're coming out with another Bill and Ted?
Oh, are they really?
I'm pretty excited about it. So not until like 2018 or 19, but I'm still okay.
I wouldn't see it in the theater, but I'm not going to say that I won't see it.
Right. I'm not going to just deny that I'm going to go watch that and see what it's about.
So, like I said, but going into it, I didn't really have that much of an opinion. I just kind of thought it was, you know, silly and whatever.
Yeah.
And so what did you think seeing this for the first time then?
I think I wrote, if I were really hungover and couldn't reach the remote and it was on after Speed, I would probably watch it again.
Okay. I think that, I mean, that's fair enough. It's not a ringing endorsement, but I think I can go along with that. Like, oh man, I feel like shit. And the TV's on because apparently I didn't turn it off. And it's on TBS for some unknown reason. And I guess I'll just watch this.
You know what I need right now to help me be hungover? A little breathy talking.
I need Jon Favreau being crazy skinny and a psycho.
Crazy, yeah.
And I need Roy from The Office to be pretend like he's deaf.
He was so little in this, too.
Yeah, he was such a skinny little guy. It's like you could do a Roy and a Jon Favreau. Like before and after.
Yep.
Or then and now. And it's like, whoa, they've been blown up like balloons.
Yeah. So it was okay. It was definitely not my favorite movie of all time. But Meet the Robinsons, you know, you can only watch so many things.
Yeah. If this was your favorite movie of all time, we'd have quite a discussion. It's like, oh,
right.
So Rachel.
I'm coming to your house.
No one's attacking you right now. No one's attacking you. This is a safe place. But we need to have a talk about your movie choices.
Yeah.
Movie intervention.
Movie-vention.
Movie-vention.
I just did that.
There we go. We're rebranding the podcast. That's what it's called. Movie-vention.
Oh, that's funny. So going through my notes, like, I can't decide like where this fits. So like I was trying to be like, is this more like Waterboy-ish meets, because there are like times when it's trying to be serious where I'm like, stop doing that.
It is.
Well, like, oh, so the douchebag quarterback crossed the line and you're out, Falco.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And apparently, like, if you lose like horribly in one college football game, you never get to play in the NFL. And I was like, do you remember Peyton Manning?
Oh, like, my God. Like, yeah, you remember the Peyton Manning Nebraska situation, right?
Right. He seemed to be doing okay in the NFL before he retired. So I think that's just so funny that the backstory is like, was it the Sugar Bowl or something?
Yeah,
he
Sugar
like
Bowl.
Got ruined in the Sugar Bowl and his career was over. And I'm like, who the fuck? Okay.
He had one bad game, apparently.
If you're a quarterback and you have a sort of bad game, you can at least get picked up by the Redskins. Like, it's not.
Speaking of the Redskins, I was going to say, it's not like Colt McCoy couldn't find anywhere to go once, you know, he got owned by Nebraska a few years ago.
Right. I mean,
the Redskins still gave him a shot.
That's just funny that's his, like, the thing. Because he's supposed to be this, like, you know, you're supposed to be rooting for him to, like, come back, and I guess they didn't want to give him like a drug dependency or something because like that wouldn't be, I mean, to be fair, all of these characters are super caricatures and really shallow. There's no character arcs going on here. So, I guess I can't like try to be that person where, you know, he didn't learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like just going through like Gene Hackman could probably motivate me to play football.
Well, I put, what the fuck, Gene? What are you doing in this? Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, Gene Hackman, like, why? Were you, like, did you have a contract where you owed the company a picture?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But I was like, wow, what a bad choice. Like, because he doesn't do anything. And see, here's the thing. Like, I didn't particularly care for the film. Like, I thought it was fun in like a really stupid kind of a way.
Yeah.
But one of the things in here before I talk about Gene Hackman that I could not get away from was that it's such a shitty attempt to recreate Major League.
Yeah, that's...
like it's exactly Major League,
right?
But with football, there's
no grasshopper though.
Thing. You know, you've got your guy from jail. You've got like your people that shouldn't be there, and they're all quirky and caricatures,
right?
But it just doesn't work right. It is not. It doesn't have the same magic that Major League does.
Oh no! And maybe they told Gene Hackman that he was doing like Hoosiers 2 or something, and he was like, "Oh my god, awesome!" And then he gets there, and they're like, "Sorry, you already signed a contract." And he's like, "Damn it!"
And he's like, "Ah, shit, that check's gonna clear though, right?"
Right.
Good.
yeah, I think that the humor in it is, I try to think back because like even in 2000, there were a lot of things that people could or did, I guess, get away with that wouldn't really fly now.
Oh yeah.
Like a lot, I think there was like a lot of, in a 10 minute span, like sexism and racist stuff.
Oh,
like
yes.
I couldn't even, first of all, I don't understand why they need replacement cheerleaders because they don't even, that doesn't even make sense. And then they just like basically paraded, quote unquote, unattractive women to make themselves look like assholes. I was pretty annoyed with that, to be honest with you. I don't know. There are just some things that it's very, kind of frat, like lowest common denominator frat guy humor. Like,
oh, it is,
they came into our bar and we're going to get in a bar fight and we go to jail, but our coach is like, wish I could have been there for your bar fight. Like, that's awesome. Let's just keep promoting all of that. So, my HR PC part of me was just like, Jesus. So,
what about when you have the, when you have one minority making fun of the other minority? So we have the two bouncer twins, and it says in the
making fun of the Asian guy. Yeah.
And I was like, what the I was like, oh, good old racism. How fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So yep. I put in there and I was like, wait a minute. Like, you're a minority making fun of a minority. Like, what the fuck is the point of that?
Yeah. I think a lot of this, I was really confused. Like, then they have just the rest of the cheerleaders are prostitutes dancers.
And they had those, and see, what was so weird about it is they had the girls that were supposed to, like the unattractive girls, or they couldn't dance or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, well, I mean, okay. What's so terrible about, you know, you have your replacements, like what's so terrible about those choices? And instead you get the hooker dancers, which as the film goes on, it's like the more, stripper dancers we get. Like at the beginning, it's like, oh, we get a little bit here and there. By the end, by that climactic game, it's like after every single play, we had to go over to them and they're doing that same goddamn, like, bend over with their ass out thing.
Well, and that whole scene was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because the men are too distracted to play football.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, this is stupid.
It was unbelievable. All right, so let me rewind us here, Cruz.
Yes,
so
all right.
At the very fucking beginning, I go, oh fuck, underwater football?
Yeah!
I bet that shit's supposed to be so cool.
Right.
I just couldn't believe. He finds his, you know, first of all, he finds his own, like, All-American ball or whatever the hell it is.
And
you know, and then he's calling the plays and throwing it underwater. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, what the hell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was trying to bet I could throw a football over the mountains. So then we had the Gene Hackman note that I had mentioned. And the troubling thing with that, with the owner and Gene Hackman, is I'm like, okay, you know, I understand what kind of movie it is. Sure, I'm going to give it a hard time, but whatever. It is what it is, right? Then we have things like they have a cart. They're on a golf cart on the field, and the golf cart literally goes nowhere. Like, they repeat the same shot in the background and in the foreground over and over and over. So it looks like the cart is from the goal line to the 10-yard line, like, four times.
Oh, and then I didn't even notice.
And then they show a wide shot, and it's like on the opposite, like 30-yard line or so. And I'm like, how fucking lazy is that? Because they're just like, they had that bit for the green screen, you know, because it's so obviously green screen. They're not in that stadium, right?
Right.
And they just kept repeating it over and over, or they're just like, no, 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 Gene, do it again, do it again. And he's like, fuck you, I'm doing this once, you know, for the, get this right. movie over with. And so I was like,
you're like getting into the Gene Hackman persona while he's like doing like,
yeah. And so, but he was like, I just had put Jesus, this cart ride, it goes nowhere because it just kept showing the same background, no matter what coverage they had over and over. It was ridiculous.
That's funny.
It was driving me crazy.
Well, and that's why I was getting upset and annoyed at, like, a lot of the dumb shit. Like, someone gets punched in the helmet and gets knocked out. Yeah. Like,
so stupid. You don't break your hand, you knock the dude out by punching the helmet.
Right. The helmet's supposed to protect you from, like, 400-pound people, but someone's hand, I'm sure, is going to knock you unconscious. That's what I had to keep telling myself, is that this movie was not made for me to, like, critique the PC and critique, like, the, you know, it was, like, whoever made this movie, who I don't know, and I'm sure you do, did not give a shit that I was, like, offended by cheerleaders and shit. Like, that's not what this movie was made for. It was made for, like, people who liked football and bar fights and things like that. So.
You know what I was offended by?
I can't wait.
The Matrix came out in 1999. Huge hit. Very successful, spawned two lesser than sequels, and is like a cultural thing, The Matrix.
Yep.
This movie comes out the year after that, and it feels like it was made like 15 years before it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what in the world are we doing? One of the things that I wrote in here was I thought the music choices were very strange.
Oh, God. I wrote, this soundtrack is Varsity Blues meets Jock Jams.
That's perfect. Holy shit. That is exactly right.
Like, every scene was like, dun, 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 dun. And then I think they, like, oh, God. Yeah, I was weirded out also by the music choices, for sure. Yeah,
we had some nice, like, I don't even know who it was at the very beginning, but it was like, the group that sung All Star?
Smash Mouth?
Yeah, it was like somebody like Smash Mouth right at the beginning, and I was like, oh no, what is this?
Right.
And they just didn't have, like, there wasn't, even in the music scenes where it wasn't just the cheerleaders dancing, there was just really odd musical, like, soundtrack choices.
Yeah, and there was, like almost a ripoff of, like, My Hero. I could hear it in there a little bit. And
oh,
like,
it wasn't David Bowie. It was the Wallflowers version of Heroes at the end. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so here's one of my questions for you.
Yeah.
Granted, you weren't a cheerleader in high school, but.
That is correct.
So here's what I'm trying to understand about this Annabelle Farrell, played by Brooke Langton, who I've never seen in anything other than this.
Mm-hmm.
She looks over, sees Shane Falco. She's like, oh, okay, whatever. It's Keanu Reeves. Why is he not in The Matrix? And he drops back to pass. We have Jon Favreau, who doesn't understand.
Is this right at the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
Jon Favreau doesn't understand how football is played. And so he beats the shit out of his own quarterback.
Sure.
And then he's like, oh, I like red. And you're like, okay, so is he mentally handicapped, or is he, what's the deal with this guy? Yeah, right. PTSD or?
But then he's like, I'm a cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're like, what the fuck?
I thought you were a crazy guy. Like, that's weird.
That makes sense, I guess. But anyways, so that's their interaction. And you can tell on her face right then that she's like, sploosh.
Right.
And she completely falls in love with him, right? Like, right then. Like, all silly girls in movies do, is what I wrote down. I was like, how? Oh, yeah. I was like, how stupid of writing is that? It's like, all he has to do is get flattened by his own teammate, and then they're like, oh, God, he's the one for me. And I'm like, what the hell?
I mean, she's not there to be a character. She's there to be a support for his character. Okay. Like, yes. She's cool because she owns a bar, and she's cool because she tells him football things while she's driving crazy fast.
Now,
like,
this is exactly what I'm talking about. So, when we first met, do you remember our first interaction, Cruz?
Oh, not. Was I drunk?
Well, it was at, not Cliff's, but the one on Cotner. Patty's Pub?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been there.
Yeah. A bar, what? And so my introduction to you was you came up to me and you're like, what the fuck is the deal with Andrew Jones? His on-base percentage, blah, 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 blah. And started talking about Brave statistics and stuff, right? And then you started talking about Jeff Francoeur.
Jeffrey Braden Francoeur. Right?
And who's on TV, by the way, now? Who's on the Braves broadcasts?
No, he's on my couch. I don't know.
He's in my dreams. Yes. And so what I thought of was I was like, oh, the girl in this movie, oh, the girl with the fake knowledge of football.
Right?
And so my comparison was Cruz, who knew what she was talking about when she's talking about sports stuff. And I don't think there's anything more irritating than someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, but they pretend like they do.
Yeah.
Because, like, if we're watching football or baseball and Anel doesn't know what's going on, she'll be like, what does that mean? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's because of this. And she's like, oh, okay. And that's the end of it. But if she, right. like, thinks she knows and starts, like, yelling at the screen, even though she doesn't know what's going on, like, maybe someone that is related to her, that maybe gave birth to her, that is, like, such an aggravating thing for me. Because, like, you don't even know what you're yelling about or at.
Right. And that's definitely not exclusive to just people with vaginas.
Oh,
because
absolutely
I
not.
Run into that a lot with just other people in general.
Oh, absolutely. I think that since that was her only role, was she was this love interest / really knowledgeable football person that was going to help him. I was like, oh, Jesus. Because you know who did that a lot better is Rene Russo in Major League.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, they're pitching you inside. Maybe you about to open up your stance a little bit.
Right. I mean, and like I said, like I, she's just a supporting character. Like no women in this obviously have any type of actual character roles or anything like that. They're just there to be someone's wife or a cheerleader.
I mean, their names might as well have been Vagina 1,
right?
Vagina 2.
Yeah, that's super
awful.
True.
So. Awful.
Susan Sarandon in Bull Durham.
No, well, she was okay. I mean, she at least had some sort of point.
No, I was saying, like, we're trying to compare, like,
Right.
Yes.
I gotcha. Well, let's see, what else?
I like how there's only one quarterback. Like, they don't have a replacement quarterback. He's the guy.
He's the guy. One. Well, they apparently only have, like, 10 or 11 dudes on the whole team because everyone
plays
the other
way. They're eight players. They're dancing. I'm like, there's, like, 25 people minimum on a football team.
Yeah, they're apparently playing, like, small-town Nebraska eight-man football. They're both playing offense and defense and special teams, everything.
And then I wrote 6 minutes of close-ups before the bar kiss. Like, it's just like faces and then face and then close-up face.
Oh, Jesus.
One of the
things I wrote down is the running back, right, who has this poor guy, like, he's got to have half of his scenes on the cutting room floor or something because he says, all I want to do is score one touchdown. And I'm like, well, I wonder if that shit's going to happen.
Right? Moonlight Graham.
Yeah, really. It's like all he wants to do is score one time. And, of course, then he blows his knee out. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, he can't just score. Like, it can't just be a good moment. And then he, like, fumbles or something after that. Or, you know, something else happens. But he's got to be out of the game the entire time after that. Ridiculous. The Orlando Jones. The Orlando Jones basically playing Willie Mays Hayes. Right? He's super fast. Yep. He's a black dude, so he must be super fast.
Worked at a grocery store tackling people. So.
Mm-hmm. God. That was not good either.
I was going to say, there's another thing that brought that up. Now I can't remember because it's probably not worth it. Right. I did like the Welsh football player that just smoked cigarettes and kicked the ball. Like, that was pretty funny. But
yeah, I felt like this must have been a time where, was it Notting Hill? Notting Hill.
Yep, he was the quirky roommate in Notting Hill.
Yeah, so he was like writing that because that was the year before. And so he was riding that wave of him being like the quirky foreign guy, right?
Yeah.
Foreign in quotes.
Yeah. He was like Russell Brand before Russell Brand was a thing.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, he's just going to be there on personality alone.
Yep.
Right.
And then, yeah. And like the deaf player, how am I supposed to talk to him? Like he's, I don't know. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just some of the things in here, I'm like, oh, God. And then, I know what I was remembering. The pro football players who are on strike have nothing better to do than loiter outside the stadium and knock people's trucks over. Like, oh my God. Anyway.
They just wait and they're like, oh, this is it. Oh, no, no. Sit down. Oh, here he is. No.
No, that's John Falco. It's totally different guy.
Joe.
I think my favorite part of the movie was that his name was Shane Falco. Like, that's probably the only part I could take away from this. So
I did like the fact that he apparently threw the ball so far that people could look for, you know, 20 seconds at a time at the arc of each football, and then the next person could do the same thing.
Isn't that the goal?
He's, like, throwing it for a good minute, apparently, and everyone's just taking a gander at how fucking far he throws it.
Yeah, and the kicker did the same thing. Like, super high through the uprights, and, like, if that was in real football, your coach would be talking to you after the game, telling you to knock that shit off, but...
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What's funny is he's like, oh, it's like a 53-yarder or whatever. Oh, I can hit it, coach. And, like, yeah, you're a fucking kicker. Like, that's not that far. That's not ridiculous.
Justin Tucker's done it before. It's not that big of a deal.
One of the last couple of things here that I thought was ridiculous was some of just the attention to detail. Like I mentioned the golf cart thing, which drove me nuts. But simple things, like they go through the whole huddle nonsense, right? Where they do the little shuffle.
Right.
And then he says, basically like blue 42 on one. Right?
Yes.
And then they break, and then he sits there and he goes, hut, hut, hut. Like, no, that's not on one, my friend. That is on three. Right? And so it's little shit like that where I'm like, you can't even get, like, the basic football stuff right? Like, come on.
Right. Like, I'm sure that they didn't have any consultants on here.
No, it's just like, hey, John Madden, you know football, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm terrible in this movie, but I know football.
Yeah, how did he, I mean, anyway.
Him and Pat were... Oh, it was so bad. Like, why didn't you just literally have them splice in calls from other games that they've actually done? Because it sounded so awkward. It's like they didn't know how to call the games right or something.
Alan Chris would never do that shit.
No. And we had the electric slide, which was bullshit. We had some ridiculous zooming at the end of the game, or at the end of the movie, that I was, like, rolling my eyes Cruise style. I couldn't hardly stand.
And I said the Martell convo is getting a little notebooky between Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves.
That's funny.
It's just, oh, I don't know. Man. I mean, I don't want to talk about it anymore, to be honest with you. But, like, he's like, you're a replacement player, so go out. And you got nothing to lose because you're all going back to your shit lives. All right!
Great. Band together, because our lives are all shitty.
Right. I don't want to go back to jail. Well, too bad, because you are, but this game's going to really help you in jail.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
Yeah. All right, so out of five, what would you give this one?
I mean, like I said, 2.5, maybe. Because, like, if it was on and I couldn't get up to change the channel, I would still watch it, but I would roll my eyes a lot.
Yeah. I would give it a 2. I would say I wouldn't want to see it again, but if I was, like, otherwise impaired.
If I was otherwise occupied. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, so, all right. So that's one of the ones that we've been a little harsh on. for the films that we've actually picked. But before we get into our next film, we should mention that for you, the listeners of Plain Label Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. For this episode, our Audible recommendation is Dandelion Wine, written by Ray Bradbury. The audiobook is 9 hours long and is normally damn near $20, but you can get it today for free. To download your free audiobook, just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabel. Again, that's audibletrial.com/plainlabel for your free audiobook. Nice. And that fits in nicely because our next film is from...
about dandelions.
It's about weeds and how to remove them. It's from 2004, and it is called Sideways.
Let me show you how this is done. Hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for color and clarity. Now, stick your nose in it.
Maybe some strawberry.
Oh, there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
When do we drink it?
Now. Are you chewing gum?
No.
Spit it out.
Get married on Saturday. Here's my last week of freedom.
We're gonna play some golf, eat some great food, and we're gonna send you off in style.
It's gonna be great.
Miles, these girls wanna party with us.
If they wanna drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any Merlot!
That's
my place.
Yeah. Tonight we are celebrating Miles' book deal, published author.
Oh, what's the title?
The Day After Yesterday.
Oh. You mean today?
Yeah.
Why did you tell them that my novel was being published?
You have been officially depressed for like 2 years now.
We're gonna go have some fun, Miles. Do you remember fun?
When a woman finds out how I live, that I'm not a published author, any interest she has is gonna evaporate real quick.
You guys should stay for the weekend.
No, we have to get back for the rehearsal dinner.
What rehearsal dinner? All I can say is that
my life is pretty plain. You're getting married on Saturday! Now I could have told you some story, but I didn't. I told you the truth. And all
I can do, I spent 3 years trying to extricate myself from a relationship that was full of deception.
I am not Jack.
All I can say is that my life is pretty plain. You don't like my point of view, but I'm insane.
Miles is a failed writer living a meager existence in San Diego as an English teacher. Fucking with his career. I wasn't going to say anything.
Bullshit.
With his career seemingly fading and the fate of a book hinging on a publisher's decision, Miles is depressed with himself and what he hasn't achieved. Jack is a television actor whom some recognize but not many do, as if he were a minor actor who got a taste of success. With his best friend Miles, the two embark on a road trip through California's wine country. Miles wants to give his friend a nice send-off before married life, while Jack simply wants to have a fling beforehand. As they're both nearing middle age with not much to show for it, the two will explore the vineyards while ultimately searching for their identities. Wow, that shit got deep real quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, super serious.
Yeah.
Super serious. Okay, so what we didn't mention about the last movie was that many audiences saw it. It did damn near $50 million, which is not too shabby. It had a terrible Metacritic score. I believe it was like 34 or something like that.
Fair.
Which is not very good. This film, like we said, is from 2004. Its Metacritic score is a 94, obviously out of 100. It was directed, and the screenplay was written by Alexander Payne, who is a Omaha native. So there you go, Omaha. And this did do quite a bit of dollars, we'll say it that way. It grossed $71 million. However, it was, I don't know, it was nominated for a lot of awards. and it won an Oscar, but I felt like this is one of those films that people see the trailer and then they watch the film and they come away disappointed because it's not nearly the same thing as what the trailer makes it seem like it is.
What did it win an Oscar for?
I will look that up. And what it seems like it is it seems like it's this like comedic romp and it's over the top and all that kind of stuff. It was nominated for Best Director, Best Supporting Actress for Virginia Madsen, Best Actor for Thomas Hayden Church, and Best Picture. And it won for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Huh. Okay.
And it won Best Screenplay, Best Comedy, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Actor at the Golden Globes. So there you go. So it did win quite a lot of awards, but I feel like whenever I have mentioned Sideways to anyone, they're like, oh yeah, that boring movie where they drink wine and they don't do anything. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should put this on here for a film that the critics really liked and the Academy liked, but not a lot of like lay people, I guess, if you say it that way.
the peasants
of the world, yeah. So
what do they call that in the Shakespeare theater? The ones that have to stand, the groundlings.
Oh, the groundlings. It's the people that paid a penny.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
They were up in front, which was weird. So this was the film that I picked. I'd seen this before and I'd kind of fallen into the same expectation as the peasants, as we're calling them.
Okay.
To where I saw the trailer and was like, oh, you know, this is going to be funny. It looks like it's kind of wacky with the, I'm not drinking any fucking Merlot and like the big blow up that Paul Giamatti has. And I knew Paul Giamatti at this point from, the Howard Stern movie Private Parts.
Oh, okay.
And he played one of the, producers, I think, or one of the bosses of Howard Stern. And so I knew him from that. And I think that's probably all I knew him from. Like, obviously he has been working since forever. But I think that's pretty much what I knew him from, it looks like. So I picked this and I really enjoyed this time around. What did you think of this, Cruiser? What's your history with this movie?
Well, first, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Why are you so into Pino?
Why are you so into Pinot? Oh, yes, because it's exactly... I think I wrote a note about how NL was like, oh my god, this guy's like such an Eric Williams, I can't even handle it.
Oh my god, when he's like first explaining... sorry to like jump forward, but no, when he's first explaining to Thomas Hayden Church, the explaining wine is you and me talking about directors.
Okay, I said... At one point I put, is this some parallel universe version of me and Cruz?
Yes. Where you're like, this movie is directed in. And I was like, cool, can we just watch it? Or
oh, you gotta check out the color. You gotta get your nose in there. And then yeah. Cruz is just pounding the wine glasses.
So, okay. So I don't know if I've ever seen this one all the way through too, to be honest. Like I've always known about it. And of course the Merlot thing is just funny. But I don't know if I had ever, maybe if I did, it was a long time ago. So this was I'm thinking of it as a first watch because I don't remember a lot of it. But right away when he's like, I'll be right there. And then he's reading on the toilet. I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. So it was a good movie, but there were parts of it that I was like, kind of cringy at. Of course, the best friend is a total douche.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy and he gets away with it, which, you know, pisses me off more than anything. So,
yeah, sure.
He didn't learn anything by what he did. He got punched in the nose and made up a big lie and ruined his friend's car and,
Still got married, apparently.
Even though his goal at his bachelor party or whatever this was to have sex with other people. But, I was focused more on the Paul Giamatti character. And so, like, it does feel, and I wrote, like, I would love to be by myself for, like, 24 hours.
Oh, right.
You're in a hotel, like, go sit in the hot tub and read. And it, they made it look like he was bored. I'm like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I get it. He was supposed to be somewhere else with his friends. So I don't know. I just felt sad for him. I felt like he had really big expectations for his life, and everybody has their own, like, standard, I guess, of what happiness is, and his was to be a super famous writer. And to be honest, I kind of felt like he, when he was having his rant about how I'm a speck of shit on the, you know, into mm-hmm. the ocean, a mm-hmm. Little melodramatic for me, because okay. I was like,
a little just, much.
You could just be happy with your life and not, you know, but.
Well, and okay, so before you keep going, I think one of the things that is, I think I'm harsher on people that are writers that are feeling sorry for themselves than if he was anything else. Like if he
maybe
had, if he had any other profession and was like, oh, I'm not good at blank, I'd have been like, oh, that sucks. That's really too bad, you know? But it, since he's like, oh, I'm not ever going to be a writer. It's like, yeah, dude, it's not like you write a book and then you're a millionaire right away.
Right.
It's like almost all authors have a day job. There's only like, you know, probably 24 of authors that in the world that don't work, that just write. And so it's like, what, your expectations are all out of whack, dummy.
Yeah, that's you know? What I was, I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. He was like, and he's like, and I'm middle-aged, so it's past. Like, yeah, you're right. You're not physically able to do it anymore. Like, it's not like sports.
Right. Oh, that's right. So what did you think overall? Like, you enjoyed it, but you weren't wowed by it? Does that sound?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, I liked the premise, and I liked the characters, even though some of them were stupid. Virginia Madsen, I really enjoyed her. Oh,
she's great.
And I like that Sandra Oh beat the shit out of him with her motorcycle helmet. Yes. So all of the elements were there, and overall it was a good movie, but it definitely wasn't like, oh man, this was great. So I don't know. I guess.
So one of the things that I thought was enjoyable about it this time was I really love this version of Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like now he's kind of playing Paul Giamatti. And maybe I just didn't know him well enough at the time to know that he was has always done this, you know?
Yeah.
But when I'm watching him here, he just always seems to have this sense of unpredictability about him.
Yeah.
And especially with this character. And I wrote down that Annelle was watching this with me, and she was like, you know, right at the beginning was really stressed out by him. Just because it seemed like, you know, ooh, he's going to say the wrong thing. He's going to do the wrong thing, especially once he started drinking after we were prompted that he shouldn't drink right. too much. And he starts
his ex-wife.
Yes. And he starts mixing his pills with his booze and all that. And I was like, dang, not that he's a lightweight, but he's, you know, going down pretty easy with these wines because he's having just a couple of glasses and then he's trashed.
Right. And then they're just driving around.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Real safe things going on here.
So I thought that was really, I don't know. I thought he made the film for me.
Yeah, I agree. But Annelle's right. He's a very stressful character. Like, if somebody, I mean, like, I'm just spitballing. I don't have any friends that are late for things. But if somebody told me that, like, they were coming and then, like, I knew that they were, like, on the toilet or just, like, late, I'd be like, so, like, even, like, right at the beginning, I'm like, this fucking guy. And then he lies. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the traffic was so bad. I'm like, oh, God. So, yeah, the unpredictability, I think, was spot on. And he is a complicated character. I think he, this, of course, compared to the other one is not even close, as far as like character arcs, cause he has his freakouts and he like hears horrible news and then just goes and like chugs alcohol, which is a really Jesus. Grown up thing to do.
when he chugs the like pour the spit bucket.
Oh. No, nope. No, thank you.
Oh my God. I fucking loved it. I like loved it in all the wrong ways. I was like,
yep.
I sat there and was like, oh, I cannot believe he's doing this.
Yes. But then like he obviously, whatever he learned, he did, because he talks to his ex-wife later and finds out that she's pregnant, and he like seems to take it okay. I mean, he's definitely the linchpin of if the film works or not. And I think his character is just crazy enough. Like he's at a bachelor party and he stops at his mom's house overnight. And like, gets his friend to stay there. So like,
yeah, they're like, you're staying the night, aren't you? And he's like, well, we, you know, basically like we can't leave.
Right.
Like, hey mom, no, we're not leaving. Sorry.
Right.
Or we're not staying. Sorry.
So I just think he was a good character, and I really was like rooting for him to like not horribly screw up the Virginia Madsen thing. So, I don't know what I saw in him, to be honest with you, cause he's kind of just a really sad sack, but, I appreciated that he, you know, like it ended well for him.
Yeah. One of the things I wrote about Virginia Madsen, and I think this was like one of the things that had made people pay attention to her again after a while, was I really loved the wine speech that she gives at the end at her house. I think it's her house.
And no, it, when they're like alone and he asks her.
Yeah, it's like the bottle of wine that he's saving. It's either at her house or at Sandra Oh's character's
It's at Sandra Oh's.
Okay. And so it's that little monologue where I'm like, oh my God, she's awesome.
Yeah. Like, agreed. Yep.
And so I liked the fact that, you know, sometimes in movies you get characters like Keanu Reeves, Shane Falco, and the head cheerleader, and they're a couple, and you're supposed to believe that.
Right.
And then sometimes you get a couple here where, I mean, let's be frank, that Virginia Madsen's way more attractive than Paul Giamatti.
Right. Just, I thought that too.
You're right. And so she's, you know, not exactly living up to her standards, I guess we'll say it that way. But she seems to be on, like, the same wavelength as him intellectually. And I could buy that a lot more than I could in a lot of films like your Friday Night Lights or your...
We're or Pretty, your, Let's Bang.
Yeah, or your Varsity Blues or whatever. And so I was like, oh, okay, they seem like they've both been through some shit, and now they're, like, enjoying the fact that the other one is able to speak and enjoy wine and be like a person. Like they both felt like people to me.
Yep. Way more realistic.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what was so upsetting and shocking to me once he freaks out and he starts chugging all that wine, is I was like, oh no, this feels like a real guy to me instead of just a character.
Yeah. But he goes, I mean, like, he spirals real quick.
Yes, he does.
Like everything that happens, you have to, like, I don't know if I could be his friend. Like, those two as friends, like, are the perfect pairing, because he doesn't, the Thomas Hayden Church is so worried about his own shit that he, like, doesn't even, he sort of does. He kind of cares about his friend, but, like, he doesn't let the fact that he's, like, continuously waiting to snap and be crazy eyes, like, affect his life whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely in the mode of, this dude's going to get crazy eyes at some point. I just need to ride it out until it happens.
Yeah, and he does. Like, he helps him out of the winery, and I thought the golf scene was really funny, too.
Oh, yes, where he gets the golf ball back at him.
Yeah, yeah, and so...
just awful form, by the way.
Oh, my God.
When you see actors golfing, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, terrible. I didn't let Brad watch it. He probably cried.
Yeah, probably.
But, yeah, I mean... It's no question that these characters are way more realistic and sort of relatable.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, I definitely more relatable than Shane Falco.
Yeah, you know. But like 24 hours with the wine poor girl and you're in love?
Yeah,
I'm
really.
I'm just like reading my
quotes. What do you, one of the things that I wrote down here is I felt like this movie was really age dependent. So when I first saw this, I was just out of college. And
you weren't really a wine connoisseur?
Yeah, I wasn't a wine connoisseur at all. I remember having wine for the first time around this time. I was like, oh, weird. I feel like a film on my tongue. This tastes weird, right?
Yeah.
I was that kind of guy. But I think now that, you know, it's probably, oh, a good 10 years later after I saw it, that I watched it and had more appreciation for it, especially because I knew what sort of movie I was getting into.
Yeah. But I mean, like I'm trying to convey this without getting super deep, but like I feel like the older you get, the more shit that you've also been through. So when you like hear, when he hears that his wife is like remarried, mm-hmm. you can go back to like when you dated someone and they like met someone else and you're like, oh God, I remember that. And like, so at some point when he like learns his book, is it going to make it? And he picks up that spitter, a little bit of me's like, I get it. That's fine.
Absolutely. I mean,
whereas like you're 21, you're like, why is he so mad? It's not like he failed his final. Like yeah, there's just so much more complex shit when you're older that you've like, oh God, I've been there. Like you know that feeling of like desperation that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, yeah,
and he just acts on all the crazy impulses that you're yeah. like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not stupid.
Right. Yeah. So like, that's the difference is like, I don't have the snap where I'm like, I'm going to yell at the blind person. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I really did enjoy this. I thought, I definitely appreciated it a lot more with the second viewing than I did the first viewing.
Sure.
I think it's one that I could personally watch, a few times and still enjoy it just the same. Like it's not one that I would just put on, for like a, hey guys, come on over and watch Sideways with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of a movie. But it's one where it's like, oh, I feel like watching this and drinking some wine while I stare at my phone or something. You know, it's that,
yeah.
like I can watch it and be mostly interested in it and appreciate it for, they have like a book discussion that's really fun. Virginia Madsen's monologue is really fun. They have, I think, now here's one of the things that I was kind of unsure about was Thomas Hayden Church gets a lot of credit for the film. I mean, he just was like a little bit more sophisticated of Lowell from Wings, which is what right. I knew him from.
Oh, and, all the time.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, he just seems like he's just the same sort of dumbass guy that I've always seen him as.
Yeah, but, I was wondering that too. Like,
yeah, to be nominated for best actor. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't think that's right. I mean, like, if you step back and look at the big picture of the story, you know, revolves more around Paul Giamatti's character than it does Thomas Hayden Church. So that's interesting to me that he, you know, that he was recognized for that when like he basically just has sex with people and runs around naked and leaves his wallet with his wedding rings in it. Like,
like a complete dummy. Like, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to be an adulterer, at least be good at it. I mean, at least know what you're doing.
At least never bring your wedding rings on your bachelor party, you dumbass.
Yeah, really.
So, I mean, I liked Paul Giamatti's performance better, like not, I mean, and character, but performance better than Thomas Hayden Church for sure.
Yeah, me too. Me so. Too. All right. Well, anything else about Sideways? What would you give this one out of 4 or out of 5? Ooh. Not that I just gave you what I was going to say or.
Yeah, I liked it. I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't like push it on people or anything like that, but, if it was on and I wasn't hungover, I'd still watch it.
There you go. It's all based on the hungover.
Yeah.
I like that. I recommended that Anel should watch it. I mean, it had a lot more wine references in it than I had remembered.
Yeah.
And so she appreciated that because we've watched several different wine documentaries and she's a big wine person, and so for her to watch this and be like, yeah, that's pretty close, you know, like when he's describing the wine, he got all of the technical shit right.
There you go.
And so that was a stark contrast to The Replacements. Right? Where it's like, Jesus.
A lot of things are a stark contrast to The Replacements.
And so I would give it a 4 because I think I like it. I enjoy it, and I would recommend like other people maybe that she works with or other bartenders that she knows or something like that to see it.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like they would appreciate the sort of wine aspect of it.
Yeah. So. I mean, to be honest, I'm obviously not a big wine person. I'm more of a beer snob, and so I'm sure some of the wine stuff was kind of lost on me, but it wasn't to the point where I was like, oh, I don't get this.
It's sure. Yeah, some of it was like, I was like, oh, that's pretty fucking intense. Or they're talking about, you know, the skin of the grape and all this stuff, and Anel's like, fuck yeah, you know, when they're getting it right.
Oh, nice. Or when so, he's like talking about the pig swill. At the
And so she's like, that's exactly right. So she definitely enjoyed those aspects. Whenever Thomas Hayden Church was on the screen, she was like, no. You know, it was just this defiant, like, monosyllabic no. That's all she had to say about it.
There's just something about him. I don't know if his face is, like, really punchable. Mixed with his character. But, I mean, like, maybe my only complaint is that it's really hard to be a womanizer for me, I think, if you look like that. But I'm not here to judge people, I guess. But
he's got a little bit of leather in him, I'll tell you that.
Well, and it's just that same old. The guys look like actual men, and the girls are highly more attractive than their counterparts. But
same old, same old movie shit. All right, well, why don't you close us out there, Cruz?
No. Oh, okay. If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod. We also have a Facebook page and an account on Instagram. You can follow both of those by searching for Plain Label Podcast. If you want to help out the show, you can check out Audible, or you could head over to the Movie Noise website at movienoise.com, and there you can find the post for this episode, and you'll see our Amazon wish list as well as our Amazon link where you can purchase anything you want to Amazon for us, just like you would normally, with the only difference being it helps us out by giving a little bit of that money from Amazon's pocket. Head over to movienoise.com and check out the category Plain Label Podcast over there on the right side. So, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with another discussion of audience versus critics with a look at the films Empire Records and 35 Shots of Rum.